Question number one, and this is from about a year ago, October 7th. Does prayer influence God's will and therefore change the outcome of a difficult situation? It goes on. If more people pray, is the outcome more likely to change? Let's start with the first portion of the first question. Does prayer influence God's will? The implication of that part of the question would be that God's will would change as a result of our prayer. And the answer to that is a resounding no. God's will is not dependent upon us in any sense. He does not look to us for direction of what he should do. God's will is established. Somebody maybe has a verse that can help us with that. God's will is eternal in the heavens. His purposes are eternal. He established these things before the world was ever created. So God's will is not influenced. We could say, does prayer influence God's answers? And we get a little bit fuzzier. Mostly I'm thinking about the parable that Jesus told about the unjust judge and the persistent widow. Can somebody help me find that one? Thank you. The opening verse is there, Luke 18:1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So using the illustration of an unjust judge who responded because of the persistence of a widow, Jesus then transfers to our perspective on God and makes it clear that not only is our God just, but unlike this unjust judge who really didn't care about the woman who was making the request, God has great love for us and desires to meet our needs. Now, when this comes to the sovereignty of God, because really that's the bottom line here, as we talk about what things influence God or how God responds to certain things and whether or not our prayers make any difference, the bottom line is this is a sovereignty of God issue. So with regards to the sovereignty of God, we need to keep in mind that we process things based on our growing knowledge. We process things based on what we learn. And so as we're trying to understand a certain set of circumstances, the more we learn about those circumstances or about the background or what may have come before or learning things about a particular person that we didn't know prior to that, then that allows us to be able to process, and in that processing, we may come to a different conclusion. And all of us have been there, where we maybe were offended by a certain person, by something they had said or done, and yet we later learned what was the background behind it, and now it makes sense, and now I'm not offended, and now I even have pity or compassion because of what that person's going through. Keep in mind that when it comes to the sovereignty of God, God is never going to learn anything he does not already know. God is never going to be surprised by anything that happens or anything that is said. God knows the end from the beginning, according to the Scriptures. And therefore, there is nothing that is going to surprise God or take God off guard. Rather, what we see is God desires for us to be in communion with Him, to be in communication with Him, in fellowship with Him. And as a part of God's sovereign design, he commands us to pray. And by the way, and even in that, Philippians 4:6 is one of the most straightforward commands. Another one is in Luke 11, I think it is. I'll come back to that in a moment. But in Philippians 4:6, we have this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So let's just stop right there and make this observation. If somebody were to say to me, and it fits along with this question that has been asked, it's kind of an underlying current, and it may have been in the mind of whoever wrote this, and it may not, but all of us have wondered about this. So here's that underlying current. If God is sovereign, and God works everything according to His eternal purposes, and God's will is eventually going to be done no matter what, then what difference does prayer make? And I can follow that logic. Why should I bother praying if God's will is going to be done regardless of whether or not I pray? Regardless of what I choose to do? Regardless of, indeed, whether or not I even cooperate with God, God's will is still going to be done. And I have had people say to me, you know, I just don't bother praying because God's going to do what God's going to do anyway. And I would take them to verses like Philippians 4:6, where we now have a command of God. Do not be anxious about anything. And that implicates most of us here, by the way, because most of us have been anxious about things our whole lives and still continue to be anxious about things and worried. So here's the command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything prayer. So we are commanded to pray. Now, regardless of what logic you may use to try to determine what difference it's going to make, the difference is whether or not you are an obedient Christian or a disobedient Christian, assuming that you're a Christian. If you have not accepted Christ as Savior, that's another command that you're breaking, because we are told to look to the Son. We are told to put our trust in Jesus Christ, that there is no other way for salvation. But assuming that you are a Christian, maybe you've grown a bit cynical because you haven't detected God answering your prayers, and you finally concluded, well, God's going to do what God is going to do, so why bother praying anyway? The answer to that question is, you bother praying because God commanded us to pray. And if you are not praying, you are in direct opposition and rebellion against the God who gave you that command. I think it was Luke 11. I mentioned that. Let's go back there and see if that's the right one. No, we'll just go with the Luke 18 that we looked at a moment ago. Let's stick with that one. Thank you, Roy. That first verse in Luke 18, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay, so we start off with this. Jesus is instructing us to always pray and don't give up. Now, you can read through that parable and you can try to pick it apart and say, well, yeah, but you still have to go back to the first verse. This is Jesus' command to you, Jesus' instructions to believers that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay, so here's my recommendation in terms of practicalities. If you've struggled with this particular concept, God already knows about it. So tell God what you're struggling with. Communication means that you are talking to someone and someone is talking to you. We've dealt with this before. Generally speaking, when I get up here on a Sunday morning, this is a one-way street. I preach to you, I expect your ears to be listening. During our Search the Scriptures time, sometimes we have a little bit more back and forth. But if you come and you sit across from me at a meal or in my office or I come to your house and we're sitting across the table, if I sat down and I started talking and I talked for 30 minutes and then I got up and left and you never responded, that is not communication. That is me talking. Communication is two-way. God wants our communication, which means that not only do I talk to God in prayer, but God talks to me. Now, I don't hear God's audible voice. Keith Walker, do this. I don't hear that, but I open the Word of God, and guess what? This is the Word of God. This is God speaking to me. So God desires that relationship, that communication relationship. He has commanded you to pray, and if you feel somewhat cynical about prayer because of whatever may have gone on in your life, start there. Tell God what you're feeling. You're not going to surprise Him. He already knows it. So you come to God and you can say something like, God, you know that I feel like sometimes prayer doesn't accomplish anything. But I read that you have commanded me to pray. So I want to be an obedient Christian and I'm going to pray. Start there. That is a wonderful place for you to start. Start keeping your list, by the way, because my guess is that God has answered your prayer and you've been so self-focused that you haven't paid attention. So make your prayer list. That way when he answers it, you can look at that list and say, that's exactly what I've been praying about. And God is saying, yeah. So pray. We ought always to pray. Does prayer influence God's will? It does not influence God's will, and therefore change the outcome of a difficult situation. Once again, we're talking about the sovereignty of God. The outcome is how we're looking at it. God already has a plan, and he's going to work that plan. But we do know that part of that plan is you pray, and then when God answers, you are going to be impressed. You are going to be blessed because you have participated in the plan that God had all along. If you do not participate, God's will is still going to be done, but you will have not have had the blessing to be a part of that. It may or may not change the outcome from our vantage point, but it certainly changes us, which is one of the fundamental purposes of prayer. Prayer is not for me to get God to do something somewhere else. Prayer is for me to be changed as a result of my fellowship with my Heavenly Father. If more people pray, this is the last part of the question, is the outcome more likely to change? Once again, that assumes upon the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty is such that he will accomplish his will. So if I say, well, if I get enough people to pray about a certain thing, will that change the outcome? Let me give you a story that this is a real thing that happened to Kim and me years ago in a different field that we were in. Somebody had taken a particular verse of Scripture, wherever two or more agree, where is that? Matthew 18, thank you. Matthew 18, you can look it up, but right now just listen to this story. They had taken this particular verse of Scripture from Matthew 18, wherever two or more agree, it will be done. We're familiar with that. And so these people, several of them, they were making their ways through something like our fall festival here. It was a similar type situation, and we were in a big community event. And they were carrying around clipboards. And in the clipboards, they had pieces of paper with this verse up at the top, wherever two or more agree. And they had concluded that as long as we can get two or more to agree, then God's will is going to be done. So here was their clipboard. It was, list the people that you want to be saved. You sign this, other people sign it, and they will be saved. Well, you know, my first reaction to this is, wait a minute. I don't need names. Let's just write the whole world. Okay, so now, if I pray the whole world will be saved, and you pray the whole world will be saved, that's two people. Now the whole world is going to be saved. Yes! Okay, obviously there's something faulty with that logic. And it's because it assumes that somehow or another God is under contract to us. That all we have to do is write our names on the dotted line, and now God is under contract to have to do. Okay, so we've taken an extreme example of praying for the whole world to be saved and say, oh, wait a minute, we're not praying for the whole world to be saved. The whole point is we're trying to impugn upon God's sovereignty. We're trying to impose on God and force him to have to do what we want him to do. Rather, what we need to understand is God's desire is for all the people to trust in him. We already know that. I mean, we can go what is it? It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all, is that 1 Peter? 2 Peter 3. So we already know it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. Okay, so that is God's perfect will. And we've talked about God's will before, his perfect will, his permissive will, and his overruling will. His perfect will is that all people be saved, but we already know that God gave us free choice. So not all people will be saved. Some will reject. That fits into God's permissive will. God knew that from the very outset. It's not like he destined everybody to be saved and some people managed to get away from him. It was that he knew from the very outset that even though he desires for his creatures to be saved, his creation, human beings, nonetheless, he will give us freedom to be able to make our own choices. And in that freedom, he knows who's going to accept him and who isn't. And so there we are. That's God's permissive will. So we don't impose upon God's will. The more people that are praying does not necessarily change God's will. However, it may be God's will that he wants a lot of people praying, and when he answers those prayers, then a lot of people are going to be magnifying and praising God because they have seen what he can do. I think that's exactly what is meant by when he wants many people to be praying, when we gather together and we pray for our things, when we have our prayer requests that we turn in, the more people that are praying for those things, then when God does answer those prayers, the more glory comes from us for his benefit. I'm thankful that you're here today, and I'm thankful that you're praying. So always pray, and don't lose hope. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for calling us to prayer. And I will say for myself, and no doubt representative of many here, forgive us, Lord, for the times that we don't pray. Forgive us for the times that we get cynical. Forgive us for the times when we are so self-centered that we just don't make time to pray. Lord, you have commanded us to pray. And when we don't pray, that's disobedience. Thank you that Jesus died for our disobedience. He died for our lack of a relationship with you. He died for our rebellion. And he was raised to life in order to show that that sacrifice had been accepted by you, our Heavenly Father, and that through him we now have forgiveness of sins. Let us depart from here today with a renewed desire to always be faithful in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.